ॐ भरताय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धतामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. Verse 24. अचलोऽयं सनातनः सनातनः अच्छेद्यः अयम् अदाह्यः अयम् अक्लेद्यः अशोष्यः एव च नित्यः सर्वगतः स्थाणुः अचलः अयम् सनातनः. Remember in the previous verse, nainam naenam chindanti shastrani, the weapons cannot, this the weapon, this atma, the weapons can't cut, right? The fire can't burn, the waters can't wet, and the winds can't dry, right? So, but now it says, this atma is achedyaha. This atma, the ayam atma, this. It's very interesting, it's important here. They're using the word ayam. Means this self that is here. It is this self that is achedyaha. It can't be cut. Because you could say, weapons can't cut this, fire can't burn this, water can't wet this, the air can't touch this, because it doesn't exist. it's not there. Right, so none of these things can touch something that's not there. And so just in case you might think something like that, it goes to says it in the opposite way. It is this atma, that is immediately present. Now see, that's why you have to understand this language. This language brings you to yourself. It's not an atma to be experienced later. It's not a self to be reached. It's not an atma to be experienced. It is this atma, this self. And so those words, this self that you are now, brings what we call the swata siddha. Swata siddha or swaprakashatvam. Swata siddha means that which is self-evident. Siddha means it's established, it is evident. Swata siddha, it is evident of its own accord. There is nothing necessary to make you shine, to make you known. Swaprakashatvam, its nature is self-shining. This is the core of Vedanta. Without this understanding, there is no Vedanta. You don't get it. Period. Because without this understanding, you need to search for an experience. You have to have an experience. If you don't recognize that the self-experience that you are is already present, then you have to seek for an experience. Right? What's the alternative? You want to know yourself. And so if you don't realize... which the realization comes through teaching, not on your own, because otherwise there would never be a problem, because you are self-evident, right? But the mind, right? The mind has usurped that self-evident being for itself. That's why it's so important to be able to say, I am the body. I am the body. And then remove the body from the I am. I am the mind. Then remove the mind from the I am, right?
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Okay. Oh, I am the body. I am the mind, right? The problem is not at all with the I am. The I am, what that those words are referring to, is the self-evident Atma. The problem is with the ignorance-born association with the body or the mind or the sense organs or that these objects of knowledge that actually change. So here when it says, this ayam, ayam means this Atma, ayam Atma, this Atma that you are, this Atma is achedya. It can't be cut. This body can be cut, right? This body can something. This body can be hurt. And so if you say, ayam me, this Atma, cannot be cut, I cannot be the body, right? If you say that, ayam this Atmaha, so it says, ayam achedyaha, I'm not able to be cut. Aham adahyaha, I cannot be burnt, right? You can't light me on fire. Ayam akledyaha, I am not capable of being wet. You can't pour water on me. You can't make me wet. Okay? Akledyaha. Ashoshyaha, you can't dry me out. See, you make me wet, then you dry me out. Or like how winds, the winds will dry your clothes, for instance. The winds will dry. But they won't dry you. The water won't wet you. The wind won't dry you. The weapons won't cut you. The fires won't burn you. Because you, the conscious being that you are not an object of knowledge to be acted upon. So now, the key here to understanding this is it starts with the ayam, I, this self that I am. I can't be burnt. This being that I am, I can't be cut. I can't be burnt. We're talking about the I that says, when you say, I am the body, right? That I am. That's what this meditation is all about, this. You have a statement, I am the body. The first half is correct, right? So when you say, I am, those words are evoking and labeling and pointing to your own presence. When you say, I am, forget the ignorant part of it. When you say, I am, those words point to you to me, to yourself. Now, all that has to happen is that this self, that these words I am point to, need to have different adjectives attached to them. So instead of saying, I am, and then equate that with the body, which is an object of knowledge, what's going to happen is you're going to say, I am Brahman. Where the I am is, instead of equated to the jiva, or to the body, or the mind, or the sense organs, the words I am are now recognized to be changeless, pointing to you who are changeless, who are you who are free from time, you know. You who are unattached means whatever activities the body is going through or whatever changes the body is going through, you are not going through. That's a sangha. The body is going through all kinds of changes. It's born and it's going through life and it can get old and die. You don't get old and die. You are not born. You don't go through all of the modifications from being born to being a small infant to going through puberty to growing to decaying to dying. You don't go through these. They don't apply to you. Those apply to the body. But you're a sangha. There's no attachment. So as you experience the changing body and in nididhyasana, or you bring to mind asangoham, asangaha, aham, I am a sangha. My being is not going through these modifications. In reference to your mind goes on changing, changing, changing. Normally you're saying, well, I'm my mind. That is the knowledge. When you say I am, you have the correct part, the I am, and then this is locked onto it. You have to lock it off. It's locked onto it. So then you say, you have the I am knowledge It's not even a thought. It's a conclusion. It's a big thought. It's a thought of all thoughts. I am my mind. I am my body. It's a core thought. You know, it's the thought of the ahankar. It's the ajnana thought. But say when you recognize that habitual thinking is there, that is, I am my mind, but it's usually thought of I am unhappy, I am sad, I am happy, I am whatever is going on in the mind. That's how this I am my mind thought manifests. I am whatever the condition is. Right. That's the ajnana. When we watch, in gaining knowledge, you watch, even though you know, you watch your mind still slipping back into this type of conclusion. Mm. You know? Just because the habit is strong. Right? Mm. It's where nididhyasana becomes meaningful. Instead of saying, I am my mind, you can say asangoham, you know, or anandoham. But what if I said gagubuga aham?
Nothing.
Right? Now, if you say anandoham, I am wholeness, and that word wholeness doesn't have any meaning. There's no knowledge. It's not a word that holds the knowledge. Then it's meaningless. It's like saying aham gagubuga. That's one of Swamiji's words. Gagubuga. Okay. Aham gagubuga. Ananda, anandoham, nityoham, shantoham are no better than gagubugai. Unless you have understood the meaning of that word. And that nididhyasana is useful then because it capsulizes your knowledge in this little mantra. And that's what is evoked. But you have to let that mantra do its job. You have to let the word nitya or I am timeless do its job. So you have to know what that job is. The job is to take the first part, I am, which is correctly landing on you. You, the conscious being. And instead of saying, I am the body, or I am sad, or I am happy, you say, I am Brahman. Or, I am free. Or, I am shanta. I am peace. I am silence. I'm, when you know what those words mean. And so here, if you look, these are all like mantras. Achedyoham, I cannot be cut. You know? Adahyoham, I can't be burnt. You know? Akledyoham, I can't be wet. All these words are talking, pointing your mind to making you remember who you are. The I experience, I am here. But because of self-ignorance, I have taken myself to be this body, mind, sense organs, you know? and then there's a ripple effect. I mean, this conclusion leads to so many other conclusions, right? All of them much less than what I am. It's taking the infinite, the I am the whole, and making that into a little spark of time, you know, that lasts for this little spark, the most limited little creature you could possibly imagine when you think of yourself in the light of the whole creation, the whole time-space creation, the length of the time the creation has been here, and then you have this little flash of existence. And that's the ajnanam. I am this little flash of existence. You know, that has all these troubles. this little flick of time in time that has all of these terrible problems.
These special
terrible problems, you know, that are taking place in this little flicker of time, you know. So that's the ajnanam, and that's what is broken, that habitual thinking, because of lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, you know, of that ajnanam. Now when I recognize myself, that nididhyasana over and over makes me own up what I've seen at the time of teaching. Not as a, what do you want to call it? It's like saying, I'm a monkey, I'm a monkey, I'm a monkey, I'm a monkey. Well, sooner or later, maybe I would believe it. It's not like that. Right? Because I, the asangoham, the one who is unattached, is aparoksha. Aparoksha means is I am immediately present in that way. I am immediately present as the very being, the changeless being that is present and pervasive to my mind. I am immediately present in this way. The mind, however, is totally conditioned and accustomed to taking itself to be myself, so that there's a red hot iron ball syndrome there, right? So the mind takes itself to be the conscious being. So then, because it changes, I change. Because it is unhappy, I am unhappy. So we need to differentiate so I can see this changelessness of myself, that I am changeless and the mind is changing. I need that differentiation. And so when I say something like asangoham, achedyoham, adahyoham, akledyoham, I'm not burning, I can't be burnt, I can't be touched, I can't be changed in any way, it brings my mind back. Say, oh, that's right. You know, to own myself. And now, look at how it goes. After eliminating the elements, it says, nityaha, ayam nityaha, ayam atma, this atma. The atma that you are is nityaha. Nityaha means free from time. You are, you exist, you are, and you are free from time. That means for you there is no past, present, or future. In fact, there is only the, I like to say it like this, you are the presence of past, present, and future. Right? You could say you are the present, but if you say you are the present, then what about the past and the future? So you are, in fact, the one who's free from time. So you're the changeless one that illumines the present. In fact, you can never, at any time, even in samsara, you can never veer from the present. You never veer from the present. You can't veer into the past. You can't veer into the future. It's impossible. You are the present. And you can remember the past and you can project the future, but you remember the past, that memory's in the present. When you project into the future, that memory is in the present. Projection. When you project into the future, that projection is in the present. You can divide time. Right? You could say this moment, okay, this is a moment, that took a long time, let's divide that in half, you know? But you, no matter how much you divide this present moment into smaller moments, you are always the present of whatever moment you're dividing. Because for you, there is no time, you're nityaha. So say as you recognize that the conscious being that you are illumines time, that everything comes and goes, all change comes and goes in you, you illumine time. When you see that, then when you say the words nityoham, I am nityaha, I am timeless, that's not just a theory or a catechism or a belief. When you say aham nityaha, then the aham, the word I, resolves into you, the conscious being that is that. You see that, you see the truth of it. Nityaha. Sarvagataha. Sarvagataha means the one that has gone everywhere. Sarva means everywhere. Gataha has gone everywhere. Now, if I say, I am sarvagataha, I am all pervasive. That's how we translate. Aham sarvagataha. What does that mean? Well, if we say all pervasive, there has to be something that I'm pervading. Okay. So when we say a word like all pervasive, we're saying it in reference to this creation. So let's look at that. To get an idea of in terms of this creation that we're experiencing right now, I would never say, I, the body, am all-pervasive. I'm certainly not all-pervasive. Even in reference to this room, I'm taking up just a little corner of it. Right? Space in reference to the room is all-pervasive. You're not all-pervasive. You're not all-pervasive. Even the light is not all pervasive because underneath the couch it's dark. Right? So the only thing that would qualify in terms of this creation as sarvagataha is space. So space becomes a teaching tool for understanding Vedanta. Right? Space is a teaching tool for that because it's all pervasive. However, space doesn't pervade consciousness. It pervades, as one of the elements in the creation, it pervades the creation. So you can get an idea. We can say space is all pervasive in reference to the creation, and you would probably say yes. In reference to this manifest creation, space is all pervasive. There's no place where space is not. Because space pervades through everything. It's all pervasive. But space is not all pervasive to me, so it's not really all pervasive. It's not, it doesn't, space doesn't pervade awareness. Because if space pervades the body, you can say it pervades the mind, it pervades all experience. But it doesn't pervade awareness. Otherwise, awareness would be spatial. Awareness is not spatial, but awareness is aware of space. Awareness doesn't have size. It doesn't have dimension because it's not objectifiable. So in fact, awareness has nothing to do with space. Space has something to do with the creation. It comes with the creation, in fact. Way to understand it is if you have a dream, space comes with a dream, space, air, fire, water, earth. And space is the one element that's all pervasive to whatever the projection is. If you have an imagination, space is all pervasive in that imagination. If I ask you to imagine a meadow, right? If I ask you to imagine a little apple, the apple takes place in space because it has dimension. Right? It's got a right side and a left side. If I ask you to imagine a meadow or close your eyes and imagine this room, space is there. It's one of the elements. It's one of the materials of imagination or one of the materials of the creation. But it's all pervasive. It's sarvagataha. But it doesn't pervade awareness. Say, for instance, just to make this clear, I say, have an imagination of a meadow, and there you have the space in the meadow. Withdraw the imagination. You've withdrawn the space. Look into just awareness itself. Is awareness big or small instead of a right side or a left side? These have no application at all. However, this experience that I'm having of this room is pervaded by awareness. Is there any part of any experience that you've ever had that is not pervaded by awareness? How far is awareness from the wall? The body is 10 feet from the wall. How far is awareness from the wall? If I look up at the sky and I look at all of the stars and I see the stars and all of the moon, the moon, the stars, and the whole huge panorama of the sky, how far is the sky from awareness? So this aham sarvagataha, that understanding is very useful for breaking the dehatma buddhi, that the awareness is just goes as far as this body. But in fact, just like this body and the rug and all of you are in space, so this body is in space and all of you are in space, everything in this room is in space. That's my experience. My experience also is everything in this room is in awareness, including space. Right? Space pervades everything in this room. Right.
Easy.
It's also easy that everything in this room is in awareness, including the space. That's also easy, except for this dehatma buddhi, right? This identification of the body. So that's why this word, sarvagataha, all pervasive, once I know what it means, then to say, aham, I am all pervasive, what does that statement, that mantra do? It breaks the dehatma buddhi, because I know what the meaning of it is, right? So if I say, I am nitya, free from time, I am sarvagataha, all-pervasive, means there's nothing in this creation really that touches me. There's no place where I am not. I am changeless, nityaha, free from time, sarvagataha. Then he says, stanuhu. I don't move. Stanuhu means I am steady. I am still. A tree is stanuhu. It's planted. It doesn't walk around. Right? So because I'm free from time and I'm all pervasive, I am stable. Because there's no place where I'm not. So where am I going to move to? Where can I move? But you might think, like with a tree is stanuhu. We use that term for a tree, stanuhu. A tree being placed, it has branches and leaves, and it can be moving around. So I could be all pervasive and stable, and but in within that stability, be kind of moving around. But no, just in case you were to think that, he says, achalaha, I have no motion. I am stable, and I am free from any type of motion. I am free from time. That itself says it all, really. I'm free from time. There's no place where I'm not. That brings in the maya. Right? I am stanuhu. I am changeless. I don't move. You kind of go from here, I'm standing here, and then, well, let me just move over here and stand here. No, stanuhu. There's no movement. And if in that stability, there is no change. There's no motion. And I am sanatanaha. Sanatanaha means ancient, ever the same. Right? Means I've never been different than this. These words are, in a sense, like if I say nityaha and stanuhu, nityaha goes toward the future. As the one translation is, I am eternal, I'll go on forever, nityaha. Really, the meaning is timeless. Stanuhu, the meaning is timeless also, but it means I've always been the same. As I am now, I've always been that. I've never changed in any way. The being that you are now, as you are now, if you are going from the standpoint of the creation, go back a billion years, you are ever fresh exactly as you are right now. There's no aging, there's no change, there's no modification. Yourself. And so this verse is making the mind fall back. It's pointing to the conscious being, the me. Remember, it starts with this I am. This self that I am. This is how I am. Right? So then he goes on and he says, avyakto yam achintyo yam. Avyakto yam achintyo yam avikaryo yam uchyate avikaryo yam uchyate tasmat evam viditvainam tasmat evam viditvainam nanu sochitum arhasi nanu sochitum arhasi avyaktaha avyaktaha ayam achintyaha ayam avikaryaha ayam uchyate tasmat evam viritva enam na anusochitum arhasi. There's our indeclinable past participle in here and our infinitive of purpose for the Sanskrit people. Let's just do a little grammar. Avyaktaha ayam. Avyaktaha, past passive participle. Avyaktaha ayam. This ayam, this atma, is avyaktaha. Means cannot be, is not manifest. Is not an object for sense perception. Avyaktaha ayam. Ayam nominative singular. Avyaktaha nominative singular. Ayam avyaktaha. This is avyaktaha. It can't be manifest. Achintyaha ayam. This, me, this atma, not only is it not manifest for sense perception, it is achintyaha. You can't think of it. So no inference, no presumption. Right? It's not something like, well, let me think, I can figure this out. And so you figure it out with your mind, or you can't actually see it, but you can infer it, or you can presume it. You know, through logical deduction or induction, you can get to it logically, or you can get to it through via your mind as an object. You can objectify it in your mind. You can't. So this is saying no, achintya. It's not an object for your perception. It's objectaha. It's not an object for perception, and it's achintya. It's not an object for your mental cognition, like through inference or presumption, right? So it's achintyaha. Ayam avikaryaha. This achintyaha and avikaryaha for Bill and someone farther along in Sanskrit, these are potential participles. Achintyaha, it cannot be thought about, right? Avikaryaha, it cannot be modified, potential participle, avikaryaha. Our Sanskrit class hasn't gotten to that yet. Some of you have. So, achintyaha can't be thought of. Avikaryaha, it can't be modified like milk can be modified into curds. This is avikaryaha. It's not capable of that type of modification. Like say it's one thing, but it keeps modifying, changing into something else. Even though it's one, it's got many parts, and so it's continually changing its form, changing its nature, like milk into curds, right? Milk is, in a sense, changing its nature to become curd. This is avikarya, the unnegates avikarya. It cannot. It is not capable of going through any type of modification or transformation. So avikarya, ayam, this. So notice how it says ayam. These are like each of the mantra. Ayam avyaktaha. I am. This Atma is avyaktaha. It's not an object of manifest for my sense perception. Ayam, this me, is achintyaha. It's not going to be something that I cognize as a mental object through inference or perception. Ayam, I am avikarya. I am never going to modify or change. Notice how your mind modifies. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's gross, sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's sad. It's always changing and modifying from one form and one thing into another, one emotion into another, you know, one state of being into another. The mind is always transforming itself. Sometimes it's very subtle and beautiful. It's a beautiful home. And then sometimes it's so upset and sometimes it's so tired. Sometimes it's so dull. It's always modifying, modifying, modifying. Atma is not modifying. I am avikarya. I am not becoming subtle, nor am I becoming dull. I'm not becoming happy. I'm not becoming sad. I'm not becoming agitated. As I am, period. And I'm always the same. And I'm always that very same being in presence, no matter what the mind is doing. So avikarya. I am uchate. This is said to be uchate. Past tense of vach. Uchate. It is said, ayam uchate, ayam, this is said, this ayam atma, this atma uchate is said to be, and all these nominative singulars, avyaktaha, achintyaha, ayam avikaryaha, the atma is said, described in all of these ways. Tasmat, remember Krishna's talking to Arjuna. Tasmat, therefore, right, this is Swamiji's famous tasmat. Right? Okay. Tasmat, therefore, evam viditva enam. Viditva, past, indeclinable past participle, having known. Viditva enam. Therefore, having known enam, this, now accusative singular, viditva enam, having known this atma, evam, in this way, as avyaktaha, achintyaha, avikaryaha, tasmat, therefore, having known viditva enam, this enam atmanam, this self, evam, in this way, na anusochitum arahasi. Arahasi, you're not qualified to do this. Means you don't have a reason to utter, the root utter, it means to be qualified. But in, we wouldn't really say that in English. You're not qualified anusochitum, to grieve. Anusochitum means to grieve after, to grieve about these things, to be sorrowful over these, to be sorrowful about this. Na arhasi, you are not qualified. What it's trying to say is you don't have a logical reason to grieve about this, what you're grieving about. So, anusochitum, tomb, infinitive of purpose. Everybody remember the tomb? So that would be to grieve. Such, the root, means to grieve. Sochitum means it takes the guna. It's one of those roots that takes the e, sate root. So such becomes soch plus the e, sochitum. Tomb is indeclinable. Anu is the upasarga, the prefix there, and it means, you know, after. So you're grieving about something. Something has happened. Anusochitum means to grieve over this in English. That's how you're not, na arhasi. You're not really qualified to grieve over this because these things don't deserve grief. Why are you grieving over this? Doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. So this is not something that's appropriate for you to be grieving over. Right? Having known the Atma in this way, then once you know this, then it's not appropriate. This grief is not logical. That's the idea. But do you see the grammar there? So now, up to this point, right, these verses, one after another, Krishna has been pointing out, unfolding to Arjuna, Atma, who you really are, you know, the Atma that you really are, so that he can recognize there is no such thing as death, that neither you nor me nor all of these kings, this was the previous verse, never have they not been, never will they not be. All of them, you know, are free from time. And so now, say if we're thinking about it on this level, and say Arjuna has that vision, it's like recognizing this reality as to be like a dream. And what I mean by that is, here is this dream taking place that has within it its own laws and its own logical reality. But when I wake up from the dream, nothing has happened. Neither have I died, nor have you died. Horrible things could have happened in the dream, right? Because within the reality and within the karma of the situation that's going on in that dream, God knows what could be going on. But in reality, neither you nor me, nor you or you, are going through anything whatsoever. And when the dream vanishes, when I wake up, what is the recognition? That nothing at all has happened. Right? Nothing has happened to me or to you. That there is one being here. There is one reality here, which was the reality of the whole thing, and that reality is what remains. And that reality was the reality of the whole, and that reality I am. So whatever is going on here, you think this person is going to die, or this person is going to die, or I'm going to die. So Krishna is saying, I never have not been, you never have not been, these kings have never have not been. There is only one self here. And now is going on with all of these verses, trying to make Arjuna recognize the asangaha, the nityaha, that there's nothing happening in reality. There is nothing happening. Right? And were the universe to disappear right now, I would be exactly as I am. This whole universe disappears right now. I am is exactly as I am. There, without a flicker. It's not like, no, I am exactly as I am. That's asangaha. So that.
Wow.
Now, we'll just read this next one. I'll say a few words about it. Atta chainam nitya jatam. Atta chainam nitya jatam. Nityam Bhamanya Semratam. Nityam Bhamanya Semratam. Tathapi Tva Mahabaho. Tathapi Tva Mahabaho. Naivam Shochitam Arhasi. Naivam Shochitam Arhasi. Hata Cha Enam. Nitya Jatam. Nityam va manyase mritam. Tata api tvam mahabaho na evam shochitum arhasi. Now he goes to another thing. Maybe Arjuna is thinking, all right, I understand that the Atma, that I don't change, and their self doesn't change. Bhishma, Drona, they don't change. You know, but still, I don't want them to die. I don't want to lose Bhishma. I want to touch Bhishma and Drona. I want that relationship, you know. And that's why I'm grieving. That's why I'm grieving. So Krishna, anticipating this level, you know, of problem, this mental a level of grief, he goes, and furthermore, atacha, he says, nityajatam, enam nityajatam. Say this Atma, the self, is nityajatam, right? It is always being born. Nitya means always, jatam. It's always being born. Like, take it to be this body.
Nitya means
always.
I thought it meant timeless.
When you use it as an adverbially in a sentence, it can mean that which goes on continually. So it depends on the context. Okay. When you say something is born, you're not going to say it's timeless. So here you mean, right? It's eternally born,
okay,
right? So
okay.
Nitya jatam.
Yeah,
okay. Nityam va manyase mritim. So he says, if you should consider, manyase, right? Furthermore, if you should think, manyase, if you think that enam, the Atma, the self, is something which is always born, because remember, in India, they take reincarnation for granted. So you are always born, you're born and you die, you're born and you die. So say you take the Atma, the self, to be nitya jatam. It's always been born, and nityam or nityam va mritam, or it's always dying. Say this is what you believe. When you say you think, you consider enam this Atma nitya jatam va nityam mritam, or it's always dying. Okay. Tatapi, still, even then, tvam you mahabaho. O great, Bahu means arm, O great armed one, a strong, you know, it's that vocative. Hey Mahabahu, O you of great strength, says. Na evam sochitum arhasi. Na evam sochitum arhasi. Even then you're not qualified to grieve. Even then. You know, if you believe that these are always being born and they're always dying, still you're not qualified for grief. Let's do the next one. Jatasya hi trivo mrityuhu. Jatasya hi trivo mrityuhu. Trivam janma mrityasya cha. Trivam janma mrityasya cha. Tasmat aparihariyarte. Tasmat aparihariyarte. Aparihariye arte. Natvam sochitum arahasi. Natvam sochitum arahasi.
Skipped over. Or no, I guess I did.
Jatasya, he says, because this is kind of finishing this previous verse. Jatasya hi dhruvaha mrityuhu dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmat aparihariye arte na tvam shochitum Arhasi. He says, because, for that which has been born, jatasya hi, for that which has been born, dhruvaha mrityuhu. Mrityuhu, death is dhruvaha, for certain. Death is definite. It's a certainty for something that's been born. So jatasya hi, because, he says, because, for something that's been born, dhruvaha mrityuhu, death is certain. And then janma mrityasya cha. Dhruvam janma. Janma, birth is certain for something that has died, for someone who has died. Okay? Because the reincarnation, transmigration of the jiva. Tasmat, therefore, aparihariye arte, toward something, arta, toward a fact, which is definite, which is something that is cannot be changed, aparihariye. It can't, it's an arta, it toward, it's locative singular, toward something which is, cannot be changed, right? That is definite like that. Natvam sochitum arhasi. It's not appropriate to grieve. Because you're grieving for something that is, you can never do anything about. You're grieving for the way things are. That something that you can't change. It's not like something that is born in some instances will not die. So then you can grieve, what? Why did my friend die? You know? When other people don't die. You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. Your grief is misplaced. So that's his argument there. And then he goes on. We'll spend a little more time on it with the next verse. He even has another verse on this, so let's take a break. We'll stop here for now, though. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidacchate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti.
Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.